The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Welcome to today's service. We're so pleased that you can join us. Today, we welcome the Reverend Brenda Riley into the pulpit, and we thank her for her work this week and her time spent with us. If you have a candle for worship, let's light them together, remembering that Jesus is the light of the world. Please join me in the call to worship today. As followers of Christ, we are called to bring a hopeful understanding of our world, declaring that God called the created universe good. We are called to bring this hope in God with us wherever we go, declaring that God makes all things new again. Jesus taught that we should love God and love one another. So let's join together in our love of God to worship and give thanks.
Let us pray together the prayer of confession. Almighty God, Creator, Shaper and Sustainer of all life and loving Father, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have been careless with the creation you so lovingly crafted and deaf to its song of praise. We have taken to satisfy our selfish desires rather than our need, and have been indifferent to the consequences as your world's song of praise has been silenced. Because of our greed and carelessness, the world is hurting, and many of your vulnerable children are suffering as a result. Please forgive our indifference. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, in our striving to follow Jesus, God is a sure and constant presence. Never coercing commitment, but always inviting it. God holds before us priorities that emerge from the world, invites us to love and care for creation, enlightens us when our understandings are dim, beckons us to embody belief in deed, strengthens us in spirit and truth. Through the love and power of our Savior, Jesus Christ, we are forgiven, saved to be a part of God's loving and healing work in the world. Amen. The Song of Faith was adopted in 2006 by the United Church as a verbal picture of our statement of faith. It helps us to understand the context of our faith in the 21st century. And it also is a means of ongoing reflection and an invitation for the church to live out its convictions in relationship to the world in which we live. Please join me as we recite a part of the Song of Faith. God is creative and self-giving, generously moving, in all the near and distant corners of the universe. Nothing exists that does not find its source in God. Our first response to God's providence is gratitude. We sing thanksgiving. Finding ourselves in a world of beauty and mystery, of living things diverse and independent, of complex patterns of growth and evolution, of subatomic particles and cosmic swirls. We sing of God the Creator, the maker and source of all that is. Each part of creation reveals unique aspects of God the Creator, who is both in creation and beyond it. All parts of creation, animate and inanimate, are related. All creation is good. We sing of the Creator, who made humans to live and move, and have their being in God. In grateful response to God's abundant love, we bear in mind our integral connection to the earth and to one another. We participate in God's work of healing and mending creation.
Today's Bible reading is from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. And one of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" Jesus answered, "The foremost is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said to him, "Right, teacher, you have truly stated that he is one, and there is no one else besides him. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as himself, is much more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one would venture to ask him any more questions. This is the word of the Lord.
Fall is one of my favorite times of the year. Feels full of bright orange pumpkins, trees ablaze in red, yellow, and gold, kids squealing as they run through the corn mazes, markets full of fresh fruit. Truly, we are blessed. We have so much to be thankful for. They're the miracle of creation itself, God creating all of this and creating us all in love. Thanking God for our Creator, for creation, and giving thanks for God, food and life is as global and ancient as civilization itself. Thanksgiving reminds us of two things. First, that gratitude should always be our first response to God's gift of love, and reminds us of our role in caring for God's world, the home we share with all creation, the home where we have many neighbors in different sizes and shapes. In her book, Inhabiting Eden, Christians, the Bible, and the Ecological Crisis, Patricia Tull reminds us that gratitude is a most appropriate response for us as inhabitants of this world, a world we neither paid nor could ever have designed. We were intended to draw sustenance from creation's bounty. With each breath, we take God's provision of air. With each drink, the precious water supply. With each bite of bread, the manna for one more day of love and service. We can begin to uphold the world that upholds us by recognizing these gifts with gratitude, especially our place in an ordered world that is full and fundamentally good, and our vocation to preserve the goodness and health of this living, teeming, vibrant, exuberant world. This Sunday is a good time to pause again for Thanksgiving, to thank God for the bounty, for creation, for us, our lives. Yet, many Christians who love nature, who feel God's presence and pleasure when they pursue these loves, don't think they're allowed to incorporate that love or advocacy into their Christian identity. I wonder about that. Yet the Christian vision of creation is deeply rooted in Scripture. Jesus taught us that the most important commandment are to love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Friends, the double commandment to love, loving God and my neighbor as myself, entails that I must have a relationship to everything that God has created. How can we love God if we don't take care of, respect, and value what God has created? How can we love God if we don't love what God loves? As some of you may know, I am one who appreciates, admires, and marvels over God's creation. But sometimes I'm afraid I'm not always as grateful as I should be. Too many times I take it all for granted. And I know I need to practice gratitude for the many gifts that God has given me. I want to notice not only the gifts that God has given, but I want to remember to give thanks for them. Friends, surely to do so is a sin. Scripture says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. Yes, all of creation is a gift of God, and gifts should be acknowledged with gratitude. The practice of gratitude really is a much-needed discipline. It keeps us humble. It keeps us connected to God. It brings us joy. I also happen to believe that gratitude is a key to caring for the world that God has made. If we are not mindful and grateful for what God has made, we will not be prone to work for its preservation. We will not seek to protect that which we are not grateful for. Perhaps at the heart of the ecological crisis is a sin of ingratitude. Our love for God is reflected in fulfilling the responsibilities that God has granted to us. God appointed us to bear his image, entrusted his world to our care. Caring for God's creation is one of the most fundamental things we can do. Evangelist Billy Graham commented, "Why should we be concerned about the environment?" And then he went on to say, "It isn't just because of the dangers we face from pollution, climate change, or other environmental problems, although these are serious. For Christians, the issue is much, much deeper. We know that God created the world, and it belongs to him, not to us. Because of this, we are only stewards or trustees of God's creation. And we aren't to abuse or neglect it. The Bible says, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. When we fail to see the world as God's creation, we will end up abusing it. Selfishness and greed take over, and we end up not caring about the environment or the problems we're creating for future generations. More so than ever, we need to understand the biblical basis for caring for our planet and its people and its creatures. a biblical understanding that can open our eyes to God's calling to care for our planet, its people, and yes, its creatures. More than ever, Christians should be leading the way and taking practical steps to heal our planet, protect its people, because Scripture is clear that creation belongs to God. Just to quote a little bit of Scripture, Psalms 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Psalm 50. For every wild animal of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the air, and all that move in the fields is mine. And from Colossians. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth. All things have been created through him and for him. Friends, all creatures have value before God because God made them and called them good. On the sixth day, after finishing creation and before resting, God looked out over all he had created and he said, "It is very good." To some Christians, creation care sounds like we value the planet more than the people. But caring for the planet really is caring for the people. The effects of environmental degradation on human health are devastating. Just to mention a few, malnutrition from drought, higher rates of tropical disease, respiratory distress from pollution, conflicts over natural resources. They're just some of the ways that environmental problems impact the lives of real people around the world. At first, climate change might seem unrelated, but it is more than a matter of warming up a few degrees. It will make lots of bad problems worse. To name a few, refugee crisis, hunger, disease, poverty, loss of biodiversity, deforestation, pollution, and scarcity of resources. Christians working in majority world countries, what we often call third world countries, often see the effects of environmental degradation and climate changes in ways we don't see it here in North America. They can attest to the realities of drought, pollution, and conflict that are exacerbated by human activity. Caring for the planet is a gospel call. Caring for our fellow humans, our fellow creatures, it's a gospel call. We tangibly show love of our neighbor when we act in ways that promote their good and protect them. So just who is my neighbor? Just humans? Does it include creation? Does it include creatures? Well, a lawyer testing Jesus asked that very question. Who is my neighbor? He demanded. And Jesus responded with the parable of the Good Samaritan. The neighbor was the one who showed mercy. Today, in the context of climate crisis, creation itself, and those suffering as a result of changing climate are all our neighbors. The planet needs our mercy. Earth, our home, God's sanctuary, needs our help, needs our love. But it's not all doom and gloom. We need to work to help God look after creation. But there is hope. And there are many Christians speaking out around the world. And I am heartened by all that is happening. Matt Humphrey is one of those Christians. Prior to COVID, Matt was invited to speak at St. Stephen's about Watership Discipleship. Watershed Discipleship. Matt is an Anglican priest living in Victoria. He's an educator with Arosha Canada, supporting churches and faith-based initiatives in the value of sustainable living and creation care. This summer, in an interview with National Observer on using Christian values to combat climate change, Matt talked about our place in creation. He said, "If we pay attention, we discover a single leaf or a falling raindrop can teach us how we are connected to everything. We do not inhabit a static world of objects. Rather, we are subjects of a living world. As the poet Gerald Manley Hopkins says, charged with the grandeur of God." Matt's advice to young people is about relationship and hope. The more I taste of the wonder of the world around me, the more I am drawn into it. It is easy to think that the world is just about competition or survival, but the miracle of small things tells me that there is so much more than mere survival on offer. How good clean water tastes, how a baby's smile delights, how the sun blesses us all with beauty. If we can learn to really see and be with everyday beauty and mystery around us, we will be hopeful. And we need hope to anchor us in the coming storm. And as advice to older people, which I'm sure is most of us, working or retired, is that we still have a job to do. We're not retired. We're not out of the picture. We can use our faith, our wisdom, our connections to be examples, to be mentors, to help lead in the fight for good climate policy, to help protect our neighbors, all of God's creation, to increase the degree to which our economy is fair for everyone, to make space at the table to ensure that other people also get a seat. We have that within us, regardless of our age. And hopeful voices are popping up everywhere. Catherine Hayhoe, a globally respected climate scientist who came from Canada, is now living in Texas, and she's technically an atmospheric scientist focusing on climate change, and by the New York Times has been listed among one of the most 100 influential people in our time. She's a scientist and an evangelist, or evangelical. And she writes in her latest book, Saving Us, "As Christians, our response to any challenge should be characterized by love. Jesus says, 'By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples.' And the Apostle Paul amplifies this, instructing his readers that the only thing that counts is faith, expressing itself through love. Love is the key to acting on climate, caring for the poor and the needy, those most affected by the impacts of a changing climate, as well as creation itself. It's not only our responsibility, it's who Christians believe God made us to be." Friends, I leave you with a few thoughts. What would happen if the church caught a vision for creation as our neighbor? What if we let our attitudes and actions be guided by Scripture instead of our lifestyles and our preferences? Jesus sends us out, reconciling the world to himself, calling us to be part of that reconciliation. Be emboldened by the words of Christ. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. Amen.
Hello, friends. Today, as we pray together, I invite you to join me in praying responsively. So when I pray, gracious and loving God, would you respond with the words, hear our prayer? Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, hear our prayer. We are so grateful for this gift of being able to draw near to you in prayer. And we come to show our love for you and to draw deeply from the unending well of your love for us. We pray that as you fill us with that love, we would let it flow through us and beyond us, to others and to your world. God, you well know that life in this world is still so much less than you plan for it to be. As we pray and as we live, give us a vision for the day when the pain and suffering and death that come in so many forms would be no more. A day when the heavens and earth will be new again. A day when the sound of weeping will give way to delight. A time when all creation will live in peace and harmony. Help us to hold to that vision when it feels as if our world is shaking. Strengthen us so that we can truly shine the light of life and hope you offer through our lives. And help us not to grow tired of doing what is right, trusting that no effort of love will be lost, and that all might one day bring life, restoration, and wholeness. Gracious and loving God, hear our prayer. As we pray for a new heaven and a new earth this day, we especially are aware of those among us and those beyond our doors who are in deep need of your peace, of your healing touch, of your just and bounteous kingdom. We pray that those who dwell in places of strife, places of need, and places of want would be met by you. Gracious and loving God, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are grieving the loss of one they hold dear. Gracious and loving God, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are unemployed, those who fear layoff or termination, and all those struggling with burdens in their work, wherever that work might happen. Gracious and loving God, hear our prayer. And finally, we pray for today those brothers and sisters of ours who face persecution because of their faith, for those who are deprived of their basic human rights, and those who are deprived of their lives because of their desire to worship and serve you. Gracious and loving God, hear our prayer. Let us give thanks to the one to whom we pray, the one who brings both the snow and the sun, the one who heals this troubled world, the sick and those who turn to him in faith, the one who grants new life, not only to us, but to creation itself. Gracious and loving God, hear our prayer. God, we pray to you in the name of the one who came to show us the way, he who is our Lord, our Redeemer, our brother and friend. And we pray to you as one family, even as he has taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray for the gifts that are so generously given. that we at St. Stephen's use for our ministry in the world, here and globally. O Lord, giver of life and source of freedom, we know that all we have received is from your hand. You call us to be stewards of your abundance, the caretakers of all you have entrusted to us. Help us to always use your gifts wisely and teach us to share them generously. May our faithful stewardship bear witness to the love of Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen. And so we leave today, emboldened by the words of Christ, to love God and love our neighbors as ourselves. God sends us forth from the gathered church to be ambassadors for Christ. Jesus sends us out to participate in God's work of healing and mending creation. May the love of Jesus and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with you and abide in you always. Amen.
Thank you. let my